Hey, what's going on, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time. It is the holiday season, and I am chugging along with this here Christmas vibe. So, welcome back to another episode of KD Time. You know that sometimes weekly, but mostly timely podcast, okay? It's for everyone, it's for each and every podcast fan. And I am your host, KD. And again, on this podcast series, I bring all kinds of topics to the table, from discussing culture, movies, TV shows, music, sports, food, and of course, general nostalgia. So you guys join in the fun, share, and subscribe wherever you are listening. Now, with that being said, like I said, I'm chugging along in this Christmassy vibe. So in this episode, I am going to talk about the evolution of Christmas music. Christmas music is a staple in our life, in our community, in our world. And every year, from like practically 1159 on October 31st to 1159 December 31st, we play Christmas music. It's on almost every radio station. There are so many different artists that have contributed to the Christmas music, and it's classic music, it's timeless music. So yes, and in times past, I have been one of probably many of people who have heard the same songs over and over again and thinking, well, why don't they make new music? It's because the music is timeless. It's because the music is classic. And every year, I think there are artists out there that make some new music. It just takes time to circulate and get across the masses. But for the majority, so out of 365 days of the year, we spend at least 90 days, or well, 90 to 60 to 90 days, just blasting Christmas music. So with that being said, let's talk about the evolution of that music and see where it's come from, how it started, and where it is today. That's coming up right now. Let's hit it. So let's get into this, right? Christmas music has been a staple in our lives for many years, and it comprises a variety of different genres of music regularly performed or heard around the Christmas season. Now, the Christmas season in America usually typically starts right after Halloween. Like it legit, I don't know how or why this is a thing, but in once November hits, it's like it's the holiday season, period. And I know that some people who love Halloween might fight and say, well, technically, Halloween starts it. Well, I like to say if that's the case, because technically in August, we don't have any major holiday that like causes people to go cuckoo banana pants. So technically, if we're going to talk logistics, the holiday season typically starts with Labor Day. Labor Day in September, Halloween in October, Thanksgiving in November, and Christmas in December, and then you pop right into the new year with New Year's and New Year's Day. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, right? So anyway, for us in America, for us as a Christmas-loving community, Christmas-loving culture, we start listening to Christmas music as early as November 1st. And that's legit midnight, November 1st, okay? And we celebrate Christmas from November until Christmas Day. And then after that, it's like people are getting more so ready for the new year. Okay? So because Christmas music is marginally heard around the Christmas season, you are always going to hear certain songs, like Santa Claus is coming to town. Have yourself a little merry little Christmas. You'll hear, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Like, these songs are played all the time, every year. And it's partially just, it feels like a, I don't know, a spell comes on us when we are involved in Christmas music. When we get into that season, it's filled with angst, it's filled with love and joy, it's sometimes filled with heartache. And around the holidays, you just, most people, not everybody, because I don't want to put this on everybody, but most people are happy about the holidays. Most people are like, yes, it's the holiday season, I'm gonna get what I want, especially kids, right? Kids are so enthralled, and they're just like, it's Christmas, Santa's gonna come, he's gonna give me some presents, I'm gonna get what I asked for, whatever. That's when usually the kids are on their best behavior. I don't know about today's kids, honestly, because when I was a kid growing up, that was kind of a thing. Like, as soon as the holiday came around, it's like, oh, I gotta be on my best behavior so I can get what I asked for from Santa. Doesn't matter the other 300 days, 330 days or whatever. It as soon as Christmas is like in within grasp, I was like, let me be on my best behavior because I want everything that I'm asking for. Right? So anyway, music associated with Christmas may be purely instrumental, okay? Or in the case of carols, it may employ some lyrics about the nativity of Jesus Christ. Traditions such as gift giving and merrymaking, cultural figures such as Santa Claus or other topics. Many songs simply have a winter or seasonal theme or have been adopted into the canon for other reasons. So let's talk about where it started, right? So while most Christmas songs before the 20th century were a traditional religious character, the Great Depression brought a stream of US songs that did not explicitly mention the Christian nature of the holiday, but rather the more secular, traditional Western themes and customs associated with it. So, like I said before, those songs like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, as well as sentimental ballad type songs performed by famous crooners of the era, such as Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and White Christmas, the latter of which remained the best-selling single of all time as of 2018. So White Christmas was still pretty popular, right? And then Elvis Presley did a Christmas album, and he was kind of probably one of the first like big musical artists to like do a Christmas album. Now it's just like common sense, it's common knowledge. Beyoncé has one, the Spice Girls have one, Ne-Yo has one, Kelly Clarkson, Ariana Grande. Of course, Mariah Carey, like all of these artists, even if y'all don't know who Joe is, but there's a R&B artist named Joe who has a Christmas album. Like, their Christmas albums are like a big deal, especially during the holiday season. It's like, oh, my favorite artist decided to sing some classic Christmas music. Let me purchase that. But yeah, so Elvis's album that came out in 1957 is the best selling Christmas album of all time, right? Like, it's sold more than 20 million copies worldwide, and that's legit because of who he is. Like, if he was not somebody, it wouldn't have made a big deal. Like, okay, Beyonce doesn't have her own Christmas album. She has one with Destiny's Child. It's the trio there or something like that, but I'm just saying, like, in this musical era, it's a big deal when your favorite artist has a Christmas album. So, and Christmas, like with the Christmas holiday season, it brings musicals, it brings the Nutcracker back into the fold. Everybody's like, let me watch the Nutcracker because it's such a iconic ballet. Let's talk about Scrooge and how this rich, grumpy old man was all a poop head around Christmas, and he's like alone and he's got millions of dollars, and so we gotta like shake things up and tell him who he is so that he can act right before he dies. You know, it's those kinds of things that come out of the fold. And then, of course, every year we have the plethora of Hallmark movies and the movies that basically tell us that you will find love, especially around Christmas, because there's some lonely person out there who needs love as much as you do, and it's the perfect time of year to feel that joy and love. And you can't really do that without good music. That's just me, right? So anyway, let's talk about the early music, right? So music associated with Christmas is thought to have its origins in the 4th century Rome in Latin language hymns such as, and I'm probably going to mess some of these hymns up because they're very particular about the way that it's said, but I'm going to attempt. It's from Rome, okay? Veni Redemptor Gentium. It's a Latin Advent or Christmas hymn by Ambrose of Milan in Ambaic tetrameter. Okay, so that's in the 4th century. Could you believe in the 4th century, that's when Christmas music was sort of starting. Actually, in another article I was reading, that there could have been a very first Christmas song, which was like it was reported as it was a Christmas hymn. It was called Jesus Refulsit Omnium, which means, or in translation, it means Jesus Light of All Nations, written by Saint Hilary of Poitiers in the 4th century. Now, those two songs that I just mentioned aren't really played as much nowadays because of time and just like acknowledging the fact that there are more popular songs right now. And like, of course, the separation between what Christmas is actually about, which is about Jesus Christ and his birth and, you know, the coming of the good news, and more of a cultural aspect, right? But it started off as a very religious kind of thing. So anyway, so by the 13th century, under the influence of Francis Assisi, the tradition of popular Christmas songs in regional native languages developed. Christmas carols in the English language first appear in a 1426 work of John Audley, an English chaplain who lists 25 carols of Christmas, or Christmas, all right? Probably sung by groups of whale sailors who travel from house to house. Basically, like, you know, your classic carolers who go around and sing Hark, Herald Bells, and who sing fa-la-la-la-la. Okay, like they'll, you know, that was a thing. You would like, you guys remember seeing, well, it's one of, I don't know why it's one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite Christmas movies, but I really enjoy the movie Christmas with the Cranks because the lengths that Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis go through to avoid Christmas, instead of like, now if I were to, you know, analyze that movie, I was like, instead of just simply, because I understood, okay, he's like, let's save money and go on a cruise. Our daughter's not coming home, so screw it. Let's do what we want to do. And in my opinion, like, he didn't have to go that hard. Like, they legit could have done the bare minimum and still have had like a pretty decent, you know, experience with their neighborhood and their neighbors and everything like that. But instead, they went into the complete opposite direction and were just like, we're not doing anything Christmas related. We're not gonna have no decorations. We're not gonna do anything with the carolers. We're not gonna give money to the police department. We're not gonna have a tree. And they had these carolers who would come and like sing and like bother the house because of the lack of Christmas spirit that the cranks were showing. And the way that they were dressed, it reminds me of like how, you know, Christmas carolers would dress back in the day or whatever. But yeah, so people like that would go travel to house to house and sing and give their Christmas joy and it would be nice. I don't know if that's still a thing. Like if you have or if you're in a neighborhood that still has carolers or people that go around singing carols, can you let me know about that? Because honestly, I've never seen a caroler in my life. Like there have never been carolers that would come to my door and sing carol music. Like, no, I haven't experienced that. I've only seen it in TV and movies. So I don't even know if that's still a thing. You know who does come to your door still? Jehovah's Witness, but they don't celebrate Christmas, so maybe they won't show up to your house around this time of year anyway. Who knows? Moving on. In the 16th century, various Christmas carols still sung to this day, including The 12 Days of Christmas, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and O Christmas Tree first emerged. That was from the 16th century. So from the 4th century to the 13th century to the 16th century, Christmas carols have strongly gotten some pull, right? And music was an early feature of the Christmas season and its celebration. So typically in the Christmas season, there's a tree, there's the nativity scene, there's there's wreaths, there's presents, and all of that. There's Christmas Yuletide. It's a big deal, right? So the earliest examples of hymnographic works like chants and litanies intended for the observance of both the Feast of the Nativity and Theophany, many of which are still in use by the Eastern Orthodox Church. So, we established now that Christmas music practically started around 4th century Rome. It was adopted into the English language after probably the 13th century, and then it grew from the 16th century, so we're still singing the same songs. So basically most of the songs from like the 16th century are kind of like nursery rhymes in the way that like they just keep developing over time and they keep being sung over and over by new generations and people just making it or expanding it bigger and bigger. Right, and again, it was all under the influence. The 13th century saw the rise of the carol written in vernacular under the influence of Francis of Assisi. And so in the Middle Ages, the English combined circle dances with singing and called them carols. Later, the word carol came to mean a song in which a religious topic is treated in a style that is familiar or festive. From Italy, it passed to France and Germany, and later it went down to England. Okay, so Christmas carols in English first appeared, again, like I said, in 1426. And he did the 25 carols of Christi Mass, probably sung by the carolers, right? So music in itself became one of the greatest tributes to Christmas, and Christmas music includes some of the noblest compositions of the great musicians. So, it was sung during Mass. Like if you're a churchgoer like myself, we sing a lot of the like Joy to the World. We sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. We sing all of the more typical Christian Christmas songs in church. And that started by Martin Luther, the father of the Lutheran Christianity, who was encouraged by congregational singing during Mass, in addition to spreading the practice of caroling outside the liturgy. And so, moving on. So that's where we got our start. And then as we go forward, during the Commonwealth of England government under Cromwell, the Rump Parliament prohibited the practice of singing Christmas carols as pagan and sinful. So Puritan prohibition was like, nah, we not about to do this. We're not gonna sing these songs. This feels bad. So it's kind of like a Footloose situation where they're just like, nope. We're shutting it down. We're shutting it down. We're not going to sing any of this stuff. It is like other customs with Christianity of the Catholic and magisterial Protestant traditions, it earned the disapproval of Puritans. Puritans are basically English Protestants that were from the 16th and 17th century who sought to rid the Church of England of Rome Catholic practices. Maintaining the Church of England had not been fully formed and should become more Protestant. Right? So Puritanism played a significant role in a lot of, you know, in a lot of the English and early American history. Okay? But they were basically like, we're not going to approve of this. Okay, so it's just like, no, we're not going to do this. So famously, Cromwell, their interregnum, prohibited all celebrations of the Christmas holiday. This attempt to ban the public celebration of Christmas can also be seen in the early history of Father Christmas. And you guys know who Father Christmas is. He's like a traditional name for the personification of Christmas, and basically like Saint Nick, like synonymously known as Santa Claus. Father Christmas is just the guy who decided to give gifts and was a gift bringer, and typically, you know, he would just move from house to house and give people gifts. So, okay, so if you're following with me and from 1426 down to almost 1644, a lot's changed with Christmas music. Whether it was still a very popular event is still certain. It was very popular still, and people tried to tear it down. The Puritan Westminster Assembly of Divines established Sunday as the only holy day in the calendar, the liturgical calendar, in 1644. The new liturgy produced for the English church recognized this in 1645, and so legally abolished Christmas. Now, can you think for a second back then what that must have been like? Like, people, like I said, people back then were like still kind of like figuring Christmas out. Like, yes, it was around for many years, over 200 years at this point, but the practices of the traditional holiday were seen as bad. And so some people tried to, but you know, it was declared an offense by Parliament in 1647. So it's like the celebration was attacked, right? And if we would have continued in this way from the 1600s or whatever, and like what would it be like today? It's interesting to think of. I mean, because like I said, Christmas music, Christmas, the whole holiday season is just a staple in everybody's lives. So it's like it took people to fight that and, like, you know, get it back into its restoration. Speaking of the Royal Restoration, when in May 1660, Charles II restored, he was the King of Scotland from 1649 until 1651, and King of England, Scotland, and Ireland from 1660, restoration of the monarchy until his death in 1685. He restored the Stuarts to the throne. Okay, so the House of Stuart originally spelled, because you can't see what I'm spelling. So the House of Stuart, Stuart, originally spelled Stewart, was a royal house of Scotland, England, Ireland, and later Great Britain. Okay, so King Charles II restored the Stuarts to the throne. The people of England once again practiced the public singing of Christmas carols as part of the revival of Christmas customs sanctioned by the king's own celebrations. So King Charles in 1660 of May was like, you know what? I actually enjoyed the Christmas music. I want it back, and I'm gonna make a decree, a declare that we're doing it again. And so we did, right? So he single-handedly restored the Christmas custom of singing and doing public displays of singing, right? The Victorian era If you don't know what the Victorian era is, in the history of the United Kingdom and the British Empire, the Victorian era was the reign of Queen Victoria from June 20, 1837 until her death in January 22 of 1901. Anyway, but the Victorian era saw a surge of Christmas carols associated with a renewed admiration of the holiday, including Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and O Holy Night, which are still sung today, especially in the church and, you know, on the radios and everything. The first Christmas songs associated with Saint Nicholas, who again is another, you know, another form of saying Father Christmas and everything like that, Saint Santa Claus. The first Christmas songs associated with him or other gift bringers also came during the 19th century. So now we a lot of time has passed. Those traditional Christmas Christian songs were being sung, and now we have come to the 19th century where we have more songs like Up on the Housetop and Jolly Old Saint Nicholas. You know that song, Up on the Housetop, click click click, down through the chimney with good Saint Nick, right? That was a song sung and a song written by Benjamin Hanby in 1864, and it has been recorded by a multitude of singers, most notably Gene Autry in 1953. That's probably what I'm thinking of because it's played so often. Anyway, many older Christmas hymns were also translated or had lyrics added to them during this period, particularly in 1871 when John Steiner published a widely influential collection entitled Christmas Carols New and Old. Okay? William Sandys' Christmas Carols Ancient and Modern, 1833, contained the first appearance in print of many now classic English carols and contributed to the mid-Victorian revival of the holiday. Singing carols in church was instituted on Christmas Eve in 1880, which is still done. Like, if you go to a church on Christmas Eve, these are the songs that are sung. And I encourage you to go to church on Christmas Eve because it's a very beautiful service. It's a candlelight service. You get to hear the message of a lifetime. The message that Jesus Christ was born to Mary and Joseph, and here we are. And so, moving right along, right? According to one of the only observational research studies of Christmas caroling, Christmas observance and caroling traditions vary considerably between nations in the 21st century, while the actual sources and meanings of even high-profile songs are commonly misattributed, and the motivations for carol singing can, in some settings, be as much associated with family tradition, which is very true, and national cultural heritage as with religious beliefs. So, Christmas festivities, including music, are also celebrated in a more secular fashion by such institutions as the Santa Claus Village in the Rovaniemi, Finland. Phew, that's a lot to say. Moving along. The tradition of singing Christmas carols in return for money, so sometimes alms, that's what they called it, or charity, alms for money, food, or other material goods donated to people living in poverty, providing the money or food or material goods is often considered an act of charity. The act of providing alms is called almsgiving. So the tradition of singing Christmas carols in return for those alms or charity began in England in the 17th century after the Restoration. Town musicians or waits were licensed to collect money in the streets in the weeks preceding Christmas, and that was to help the needy, which is, you know, very nice, which, you know, that's still kind of a thing today as well. Not so much as there's carolers that are like asking for handouts or like expecting some kind of token in return, but there are still, like, in many populated areas, you'll see a Santa Claus with a bell and a red bucket. So, you know, especially during this time of year, people are a little bit more willing to give because, you know, it's the spirit of giving. It's the spirit, which, you know, with Father Christmas and everything like that, gift givers, gift bringers, are celebrated. It's like, thank you for your kind gift to give to the needy. Thank you for giving, because it's like, all right, after a year's worth of whatever you've been through, and you get to this spirit and you're like, oh man, I gotta get a gift for Mom, Dick, and Harry. I gotta get a gift for my brother, for my sister, for my aunt, for my uncle, for my nieces, for my nephews. And you feel that anxiety of giving, and some are embracing, like, oh yes, I know exactly what I'm gonna give, which I mentioned in my other Christmas episode about, like, just shopping in general. You feel this need to give after some time, and sometimes you feel like if you can't give, you still want to give. So, like, the whole Christmas spirit is about giving, and when you get to that moment and you hear the music and you're like, oh well, I think I could give something, that's what it's all about. It's about giving. It's not really about receiving. It's not about getting what you want. It's about giving and being able to be a giver and do right by other people, right? So anyway, with Christmas music, you know, despite the long history of many Christmas carols, like having that procession of collecting money in the streets, the weeks leading up, and the custom spread throughout the population between the 18th and the 19th centuries up to the present day, like I was mentioning, you know, predominantly it was involving women. Women would go off and sing to their neighbors to solicit gifts accompanied by carols. Despite this long history, many carolers to this date do so, with the exception of the songs such as Wexford Carol, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, As I Sat on a Sunny Bank, The Holly and the Ivy, The Coventry Carol, and I Saw Three Ships. So the practice of ordinary Christian church members of various denominations going door to door and singing continues in many parts of the world, such as in India. Residents give money to the carolers, which churches distribute to the poor. So that's still a thing, but it's about the art of giving. So, you know, there's classic music, there's Christmas carols, and a lot of these Christmas carols, like I said, are still traditional, still sung today, and, you know, they date back many centuries. So here's, like, a popular set of Christmas carols. This is some of the standards. Angels We Have Heard on High, Away in a Manger, Deck the Halls, Ding Dong Merrily on High, The First Noel, Go Tell It on the Mountain, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Good King Wenceslas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I Saw Three Ships, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, Joy to the World, O Christmas Tree, O Come All Ye Faithful, O Come Emmanuel, O Holy Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Once in Royal David's City, Silent Night, The 12 Days of Christmas, We Three Kings of Orient Are, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, What Child Is This, and While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. Whew! These songs hearken from centuries ago. The oldest of those carols is the Wexford Carol. That is the oldest song out of all of this. Okay? And originating in the 12th century. The newest came together in the mid to late 19th century. Many began in non-English speaking countries. So if you think that these songs were made by English people, some of them were not, okay? Most of them were not, often with non-Christmas themes, and were later converted into English carols with English lyrics added. Not always translated from the original, but newly created, sometimes as late as the early 20th century. Those are some of the traditional classic songs, okay? Traditional classic songs. Now, some of the early Christmas songs, some the early secular Christmas songs. Among the earliest was the 12 Days of Christmas, which is funny because there was this guy on TikTok who was like, every mention on there, like every 12th gift, could be construed as a bird. So you just have like a bunch of birds if you're the love of your life on Christmas was like your true love decided to give you these gifts. Could you imagine a bunch of birds? I'd be like, no, thank you. My name is not Dina from Superstore. I don't want all these damn birds. Anyway, but it's the thought that counts. That's what everybody says. It's the thought that counts. And I'm like, yeah, if it was the thought, then you should have thought harder on what to actually get me. Come on now. I don't want no birds. Maybe there's people that might want these birds. I have no idea. Anyway, so among the earliest secular Christmas songs was, again, like I said, the 12 Days of Christmas, which first appeared in 1780 in England. Its melody would not come until 1909. So, basically, that song was kind of like probably unmelodic or something like that. The English West Country carol, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which is very, very popular. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. As antecedents dating to the 1830s, but was not established or published in its modern form until Arthur Walrall introduced it to a wider audience in 1935. I didn't know that We Wish You a Merry Christmas was a secular song, but that makes a lot of sense because it doesn't really have any ties to the Christian story. It makes sense. Anyway. As the secular mythos of the holiday, such as Santa Claus in his modern form, you know, the big jolly man with the white beard and the red velvet suit and the black boots, rosy cheeks, anyhow, emerged in the 19th century, so too did secular Christmas songs. Benjamin Hanby's Up on the Housetop, that's directly about Santa Claus and his reindeer, and Emily Huntington Miller's Jolly Old Saint Nicholas were among the first explicitly secular Christmas songs in the United States, both dating to like way back to the 1860s. They were preceded by Jingle Bells, which was written in 1857, but not explicitly about Christmas. Yeah, that's right. Jingle Bells is not technically about Christmas. It's about winter fun. It has nothing to really do about Christmas. It's just a fun jingle, you know, because like jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, and then it continues. That's it. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with Christmas, but because it sounds Christmassy, that's why it's included in the traditional songs. So. And then you have "O Christmas Tree," which was also written in 1824. So, you know, precision is there, but only made about a Christmas tree after being translated from its original German. Now, "O Christmas Tree," since it was a German Christmas song, was based on a traditional folk song which was unrelated to Christmas. It only became associated with. Until it became associated with the traditional Christmas tree. Interesting, because originally it was known as O Tannenbaum, but now it's known as O Christmas Tree. So, yes. All right. We're gonna move right along to our more popular Christmas songs, and then our adopted Christmas songs, and then radio broadcasted Christmas music. So. According to the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, the ASCAP, in 2016, which wasn't that far away, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, written by Fred Coots and Haven Gillespie in 1934, is the most played holiday song of the last 50 years. Can you believe that? I didn't know that. Santa Claus is Coming to Town is definitely probably the biggest Christmas holiday song. And that is particularly because of its lyrics. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, it's played everywhere. Movies, it's played at the Macy's Day Parade. It's played on every platform you can think of because everybody is excited when Santa comes. Kids are especially excited to find out that Santa is coming to town. And towns, there's so many cussing towns everywhere. So when you hear Santa Claus is Coming to Town, you're just like, yeah, that's the bop right there. Okay, that's the bop. It is played so much every year. Every year. I wish I made a song that was like a bop like that. You know what I'm saying? It was first performed live by Eddie Cantor on his radio show in November 1934. Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra recorded their version in 1935, followed later by a range of artists including Frank Sinatra in 1948, the Supremes, the Jackson Five, the Beach Boys, and Glen Campbell all participated in singing this song. Bruce Springsteen recorded a rock rendition in December 1975. So yeah, I'd say that that song is pretty dominant, okay? Then, longtime Christmas classics from prior to the rock era, I say that in quotations, still dominate the holiday charts, such as Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Songs from the rock era to enter the top tier of the season's canon include Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey, and Baby Love, whose name is Walter Afanasieff. Okay? Come on. And Last Christmas by George Michael. The radio industry writer Sean Ross noted after 2004's holiday season that it usually takes about 10 years for a song to become a Christmas standard. Now in the and now in culture, as soon as Halloween is over, it's time to unfreeze Michael Bublé and Mariah Carey. It's their time to shine. And mind you, Mariah Carey has a lot of great hits, okay? She has a lot of good music out there. If anybody says anything like with Michael Bublé, I automatically think of Christmas with him. Like I don't think of any of his other music because I know him, I know of him through the holiday season. If he has more songs, I probably might know them, but not in the same way. But him and Mariah Carey, they both get unfrosted during the holiday season, and then boom, it's like, All I Want for Christmas Is You. The most popular set of these titles heard over airwaves on the internet and shopping malls and elevators and lobbies, even on the street during the Christmas season, have been composed and performed from the 1930s onward. Songs published before 1925 are all out of copyright and are no longer subject to the ACCAP royalties and thus do not appear on the list. In addition to Bing Crosby, I said Bing Crosby, major acts that have popularized and successfully covered a number of titles in the night in the top 30 most performed Christmas songs in 2015 include Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Andy Williams, and the Jackson 5. Since the mid-1950s, much of the Christmas music produced for popular audiences has explicitly romantic overtones, only using Christmas as a setting, which is true. Come on, that's kind of true, Santa Baby. The 1950s also featured the introduction of novelty songs that used the holiday as a target for satire and source for comedy. Exceptions such as The Christmas Shoes that came out in 2000 have reintroduced Christian themes as a complementary to the secular Western themes. And a myriad of traditional carol cover versions by various artists have explored virtually all music genres. That's a lot of genres, bro. The 1980s and 1990s saw a revival of interest in instrumental Christmas music, including the new age synth pop of Mannheim Steamroller and the Symphonic Medal of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I love the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're just, ooh, it's so good. I don't know what it is about like orchestras and just like a collection of different instruments playing at the same time. It just sounds so awesome. Particularly among older listeners. Listen, okay, I might be an older listener. I'm from the 1990s, right? Like that's when I was a child and I got to experience a lot of different things. But let me tell you, when that song pops on Home Alone, that din 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 din, 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 like woo, that song is so iconic. So let's talk about the most performed Christmas songs. Which Christmas song do you think is the most performed? Listen, we'll get to that. If you think you know, like keep it in your mind. I'm gonna say it in a few seconds. Most of these songs in some way describe or are reminiscent of Christmas traditions, how Western Christian countries tend to celebrate the holiday, i.e. with caroling, mistletoe, exchanging of presents, a Christmas tree, feasting, jingle bells, etc. Celebratory or sentimental or not nostalgic in tone, they harken back to simpler times with memorable holiday practices, expressing the desire either to be with someone or be home at Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas. That is not the top song. But if you were listening before, you know, I'm sure you will know this answer. Many titles help define the mythical aspects of modern Christmas celebrations. Santa Claus bringing presents, coming down the chimney, being pulled by reindeer, etc. New mythical characters are created, defined, and popularized by these songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, adapted from a major retailer's promotional poem, was introduced to radio audiences by Gene Autry in 1949. His follow-up year, he later introduced Frosty the Snowman, the central character of his song. Though overtly religious and authored by at least partly by a writer of many church hymns. No drumming child appears in any biblical account of the Christian nativity scene, which is so true. Okay, the character was introduced to the tradition by Catherine K. Davis in her The Little Drummer Boy. That is nowhere near the Christian anything. Like, there's no drummer people. I don't even think there were drums back then. Like, drums with parumba pump. No. Like, if there were drums, it was not with sticks. Okay? Anyway. The Little Drummer Boy, which was written in 1941, with a popular version being released in 1958, and Loretta Lynn introduced Shadrach the Black Reindeer in 1974, which, again, what? Oh my goodness. It was written by Zero Jones. I don't even think I've heard Shadrach the Black Reindeer before. Okay, anyway. Let's get into the most popular songs in 2015, according to the ACAP. Now, these songs could have, you know, updated in their ranking along the time, but to the most popular song from 2015 is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Like, that's what I said earlier, okay? So, you know, it is one of those very popular songs. And it's played, like I said, on every radio station. Oh my goodness. It's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And I'm not saying that the other songs are not everywhere. I'm just saying that, for the most part, the classics are definitely, this is their time to shine. This is their time to be relevant once more. Okay, so yes, Santa Claus is Coming to Town was number one. Now, I know that this list is from 2015, and it's like, that was literally 8 years ago. And if you ask anybody today, like I've said before, the most successful song, the most probably acknowledged song is All I Want for Christmas Is You. But, in terms of how many people have performed this song, only one person could really perform this song, right? And it's Mariah Carey. We might be able to get a rendition by Ariana Grande because she's sort of in that same pitch range, but only Mariah Carey. Like, I haven't heard this song covered by any other artist. I haven't heard this song sung in any other way, you know. And I mean, even if you slow it down, like, all I want for Christmas, like, even if you did that, like, it still has the same thing. Like, yeah, it might not be upbeat and hype and whatever, but it's like there's not a lot of songs. So, like, with Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, like, we hear that in all kinds of different ways, and the song's been around for almost 100 years. Like, it came out in 1934, and we're not that far from that. I know that sounds scary, but we're not that far from a 2034, okay? Like, that's only in 11 years, so I don't want to think about it, but come on. Anyway, so moving down the list, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town was the number one in 2015. Then you had Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Winter Wonderland, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, the Christmas song, Jingle Bell Rock, It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year, Sleigh Ride, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, White Christmas, A Holly Jolly Christmas, Carol of the Bells, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Frosty the Snowman, Blue Christmas, There's No Place Like Home, Home for the Holidays, The Little Drummer Boy, Do You Hear What I Hear, Silver Bells, Baby It's Cold Outside, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, Feliz Navidad, Christmas Eve, Last Christmas, Here Comes Santa Claus, Right Down Santa Claus Lane, Santa Baby, Happy Holiday, and Wonderful Christmas Time. Okay, that's 30 songs right there. Of the 30 top most performed Christmas songs in 2015, 43%, so 13 of those songs were written in the 1930s or the 1940s, 12 were written in the 1950s and the 1960s, and only 5 were written from the 1970s, 2 were after 1990, and none after 1995. So it has been several years now since 1995 where there is some music out there that's, you know, like, Justin Bieber has a song, Under the Mistletoe. Does it have the same recognition as Santa Claus Is Coming to Town? I don't think so. Kelly Clarkson, like I said, she has a whole Christmas album where, you know, she's singing different kinds of songs. Has it reached the same acclaim? No. It had, like, they're acknowledged. I'm not saying that we don't know those songs, like, but when it comes to Christmas music, most people, if they have an Alexa in the house or Siri in the house or whatever in the house, they'll say, Alexa, play classic Christmas songs. They'll probably say, play Christmas songs, but what comes on? Usually it's the classics. It's these 30 songs, and then they'll maybe drop in a few more recent hits. But, you know, the evolution of Christmas songs is really just, like, it went from singing more in a religious standard to a more romanticized feel where, you know, you're talking about your relationships. Like, with George Michael, he's like, last Christmas I gave you my heart, the very next day you gave it away. Like, if we're still singing that song, you know what I mean? Like, we're still singing Last Christmas, even though, like, the next Christmas could be a really great Christmas and you're in a beautiful relationship. Like, whose heart, who did you give your heart to if you're singing this song? You know what I mean? Like, people are just singing the songs because it's a Christmas song. It has nothing to do with what's actually going on during that holiday season. Like I said, out of these 30 songs, the most recent one or recent ones were, like, in the 1995. But again, like I said, more songs are being made all the time, so it, you know, it could turn things around. Like, the newest song to that top list was All I Want for Christmas Is You, and it came out in 1994, and then it re-entered the list for the first time in, or it entered the list for the first time in 2015, because, again, like, it takes some years for something to really come back around and be like, all right, this is a banger, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyway, So, I mean, you could do a Christmas song survey. Like I said, there's plenty of songs out there that are like classics, and then there's songs that people hate. You want to hear some of those? Sure. Jingle Bells is a hated song. Could you believe that? Like, among the most hated Christmas songs out there, Jingle Bells is a hated song. Barbra Streisand's Jingle Bells is a hated song. The Jackson Five's Santa Claus is Coming to Town is hated. Elmo and Patsy's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is hated. And Oh Holy Night, as performed by cartoon characters from Comedy Central's South Park. Yeah, those are some of the most hated. The most hated Christmas time recording is a rendition of Jingle Bells by Carl Wiesman singing Dog. But Jingle Bells is one of the most hated songs, apparently. I'm kind of surprised about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I thought that song is it's funny, but it's I guess I don't know. It's like I thought I liked the movie. I like watching that little cute 1 hour, maybe 1 hour and 2 minutes movie of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. It's a classic to me. And the little cartoon movie is just so funny. It's like, I saw Grandma got ran over by a reindeer, and she had like got hit by Santa Claus, and da da da, and he must have taken her. And he's like, they're like, well, maybe she had too much eggnog, you know. Maybe you're seeing things. It's like, no, why are you like, you know, invalidating a kid's complete experience. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's pretty much the evolution of Christmas music. I mean, there are, like I said, there are a lot of songs out there that are just classic. And when it comes to the different songs around the world, that's a completely different story and topic altogether. So I would say that for this generation, what is the most famous Christmas song out there? If you say like come on, let's debate on this, because I think it is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You know, maybe it's Ariana Grande's like Santa Tell Me. Santa Tell Me If You're Really There. No, I'm kidding. Because again, that's another romanticized song where she's like, Santa, tell me that you're really there. Don't make me fall in love again. If he won't be here next year. That song makes sense, you know? It makes sense. It's like, listen, okay, I don't wanna fall in love if he's not gonna be there next year. He needs to be there because I don't wanna waste my time, right? So anyway, that is the episode, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Listen, again, I like controversy as much as the next person, not mainly with me, but with everything else out there. And with this, it's Christmas songs. You can't really go wrong with Christmas songs. I'm not gonna talk about the song, Baby It's Cold Outside, and be like, oh well, that's an amazing song. Like, no, there's some things in it that's like, okay, we like, come on. But at the same time, am I gonna like boycott the song because of its weird undertones? No, you know, because like we're in a different time, we're in a different age. And like, for me, I'm just like, okay, in nowhere in that song, like, yes, she says, no, I have to go home, no, I have to go home, but then she doesn't leave. So it's like he's not holding her back, okay? He's not saying like, let me grab your arm, and he's just saying, I think that, you know, the snow has fallen, we're cozy here by the fire, let's just stay here. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have to do anything she doesn't want to do. She's like, oh, I'm, you know, my mom's gonna worry, my sister's gonna worry, but then she still doesn't leave. She's not like leaving. So it's like, which is it? Okay, can she be empowered and just like enjoy her time there, or is she, or is he in the wrong for like, you know, not acknowledging the fact that she wants to leave? Like, she says she wants to leave, but does she really want to leave? Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. All right, that's the episode, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week is the last week that I am going to publish a podcast episode to that. So, you know, because it's Christmas time and the following week, I'm going on vacation. All right, so you'll hear from me after the new year. But on the next episode of KD Time, I'm going to talk about what the Christmas spirit means to me and what it means in my life. And I'm going to give a ranking of some of the more popular Christmas movies. I'm going to watch them this week before I talk about it. And that's what's going to happen. I'm going to talk about what the Christmas spirit means to me and most popular Christmas movies that are out there. I'll do like maybe top five and kind of talk about them. And then you won't hear from me until the next season, okay? Until next year. So with that being said, I hope you like, I hope you subscribe, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you thought about Christmas in a different way. I hope that, you know, the Christmas music that I learned about, you learned something too. So thanks for listening to your girl, KD. I do appreciate it. Find me on social media, Twitter and Instagram at KD Time Podcast. And I'm on social media. Try the Linktree/KD Time. If you want to be on the show, let me know. I'm more than happy to have you on to talk about whatever you want to talk about. This has been great. It's been a great year. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. And I'll catch you on the next one. All right, deuces.